Good morning and praise the Lord. We were reminded during the worship time about what happened on the road to Emmaus, and that thrilled our souls to remember and to worship the Lord. But that also has a tremendous relevance for the ministry of the Word of God this morning, because that passage tells us that the Lord Jesus opened their eyes, then the Lord opened the scriptures, and then as we read the narrative further, we read that, listen to this, the Lord opened their understanding so that they may comprehend the scriptures. And that is my prayer, and I know that is our prayer this morning, that the Lord, the author himself of his own holy word, may open our mind, may open our minds and our understanding so that we may comprehend the scriptures. What it says, what it means, and what it means to me. So I hope and pray that the Spirit of God will graciously accomplish that noble task as we open his word to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. In this assembly, we just recently concluded a series of studies by Brother Chuck Yost on the Sermon on the Mount. I would like to draw your attention to the conclusion of this sermon and its relevance and application for our life today. How did the Lord conclude the sermon? Now, for the last 40 years, I have preached and studied and gone through this sermon a number of times. But something very recently caught my eyes towards the end of the sermon, how the Lord concluded the sermon. Since I am a preacher of the Word of God, the excellent homiletics in this sermon has attracted me. The beautiful introduction, the thematic development, and the illustrations in between, from verse 13 of chapter 7, building to a climax and then a conclusion. Now, sometimes when we preach, people don't have a clue at the end, what did we preach on? What did he say? Now, that will not happen when you read this sermon, because it is very carefully crafted and developed and delivered very powerfully. And I know that all of us may not be able to do it in the same way, but that is a good example. And that should be our prayer also, that when we take the word of God, that the Lord may give us the grace and the power and the knowledge and all the necessary wisdom so that we may be able to communicate his word. So that humbles me that I should be praying more as I deliver the message, the word of God. Now, I'm going to read from the NKJV, beginning in verse 24. Please follow with me. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning in verse 24 to 29. Therefore, whoever hears these words or sayings, logos of mine, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, or my words, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It's interesting that the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in chapter 5, it begins with a note of happiness and blessedness and joy. But at the end, it concludes with a crash, the sound of a fall. It begins with an invitation to be happy and to be blessed. And it concludes with a terrible warning, which may not be very popular, which cannot be very popular in contemporary homiletics, because that is not how you are trained in seminaries to conclude your sermon. So this goes against, it's a kind of a counterculture throughout this sermon. It's a very serious warning. And great was its fall, the sound of a crash. Now, what did the Lord say in this conclusion? Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine, logos, these sayings of mine, and does them. So, you know, we have a chorus which our children sing, and we all enjoy when they sing that. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the song is probably written on the basis of these verses, and a parallel passage can be seen at the end of Luke's Gospel chapter 6, the last verses of Luke chapter 6. Now, that is building our life on the Lord Jesus Christ, a gospel. That is how I have seen people developing and sharing messages from this passage. There is a gospel application. There is a gospel illustration. But that is not what the Lord is saying here. It is not about building our life upon himself, which is the gospel. And there can be an application, there can be an illustration. If somebody develops a message like that is okay. But that is not the interpretation which the Lord gave to this passage. And that is the most important observation I want to make this morning. It is building our life. We have entered through the narrow gate, and we are on the difficult road. Look at verse 14. You know, from verse 13 onwards, the climax builds. Enter by the narrow gate, verse 13. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Once we enter into the kingdom, we are entering the path of discipleship, the path of following the Lord, the path of loving the Lord, the path of giving him supreme priority, the path of serving him. But the Lord said that path, entrance itself is difficult. Narrow is the gate. That is why many will not enter. Many will try to enter, but they will not make it, the Lord said. Broad is the way that goes to destruction. But we have entered, I believe. All of us have that confidence this morning. But you know, many of us who have entered through the gate, we forget the fact that narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. That message has eclipsed from contemporary evangelicalism. Nobody wants to hear that. Difficult is the way. The mega churches and the pastors and some of the books that come out try to give us the impression that that path is not at all difficult. It is your best life now. You know, it can be a lot of fun. That is what everybody wants now. Even in church and even in meetings and even when we give a sermon, it has to be, you know, it has to be really uplift people and it should not offend anyone. We have to be politically correct. Difficult is the way. And how we will survive on the way. That is the thrust of the conclusion. Even though the way is difficult, you can make it. You can build your life strongly, powerfully. And in a very blessed way, you can build your life. Even though difficult is the way, I will be with you. And you know, if you build your life on the foundation, and what is the foundation? It is very clear. It is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, whoever hears these logos, these words, these sayings of mine, my teachings. So we have built our life, we have entered into eternal life by building our life on the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal rock. That is true, that is secure. But the Lord is saying that initial entrance leads you to a difficult path of discipleship. Young people, don't forget that. Your initial decision is a good thing. Our initial decision, you know, raising hands or our acceptance of the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, that is all wonderful. That's where it begins. That is the most important decision in life. But that should not be the end of it. The Lord said, whoever hears these words of mine, my words, my logos, my teachings, and builds your life upon my teachings, upon my doctrine, upon my truth. It is the word. It is not Jesus Christ. Now, we can only build our life on the words of Christ only if we have started building our life on the ultimate rock, the Lord Jesus. That is true. So the gospel illustration is valid in that sense. But I believe the right interpretation is, the text is very clear. The Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnate word, logos of God. And the incarnate logos is pointing us to another very important revelation, logos aspect. What is that? That is the inscripturated logos. That is the written word of God. So our salvation begins. Justification leads to the difficult path. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Don't forget that. And the difficult is the way is the process of sanctification. We are set apart to the Lord Jesus. And we are called to love him and to serve him. But difficult is the way. There are trials, there are temptations, there are sin and there are failures and mistakes, sins of commission, sins of omission, all sorts of problems, trials, temptations, everything. But how can we survive that? How can we move forward in the midst of all these calamities that may confront us? That is how the Lord concluded the sermon. How happy we should be that the Lord pointed us to the wonderful resources he has placed for us. He has in store for us in his eternal word. You know, I refer to that chorus, the wise man built his house upon the rock, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel application. But in our red hymn book, there is another song. I think it may be 395 or 295. I don't exactly remember. You know? And that songwriter, that hymn writer, got it right. You know what he has written? How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Praise the Lord. That's what this passage is talking about. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. So the Lord is calling all of us, our life, our marriage, our ministry, our mission, our vocation, our career, our dreams, our goals, our aspiration, everything. As the children of God, when we live, as we live in this world, to build it up on the strong foundation of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Therefore, whoever hears, akuo, whoever listens, hears these sayings, these teachings, these words of mine. And in the immediate context, therefore, it draws us to the preceding teaching, you know. So what I have been teaching here, and along with it, there are other things the Lord Jesus Christ taught too. See, there are only two portions in the scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ directly taught and gave us his teachings as a unit. One is Matthew's Gospel chapters 5, 6 and 7. And the other one, all the brethren know that, the upper room discourse. Now, John's Gospel chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, concluding in the high priestly prayer in chapter 17. These are the only units in scripture, only modules, where you will find concentrated direct teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is followed by further oracles and revelation and teachings by his own apostles. Not by false apostles and prophets, but by his own apostles whom he chose. They wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the teaching continues. But here, I think the Lord was primarily referring to what he has been teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Of course, we can add many things to it. But I was wondering, I was asking the question, Lord, what did you teach in these chapters? And if you look, you can see at least 20 themes. What the Lord specifically taught. Whoever hears these teachings of mine, the passage begins with a connective to the preceding teaching. Therefore, in the light of my teaching, so we have to intelligently ask the question, what did you teach? The Lord taught about the nature of real blessings in the Beatitudes. The Lord reminded us to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. The Lord taught us about prayer and fasting and charitable giving, reconciliation and forgiveness, and how to come to the altar and the right attitude in worship, about managing our anger, about the problem of lust and adultery, and about the permanence of marriage relationship, having treasures in heaven, the need to abolish worry, radical commitment on the path of discipleship. These teachings of mine. How careful we should be to interpret the Bible verses. These teachings of mine, and that includes all these teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. So I'm standing here this morning, you know, confronted by this great demand. He who hears and obeys these teachings of mine, which I have just now spelled out in the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, in my difficult journey, in my difficult path for victory, for sustaining and for strength and for power, I need to obey it. Give me the grace, give me the knowledge, give me the wisdom, and give me the mind of commitment to love you more so that I may be able to obey that. In all these themes or topics which I enumerated, I have failures, you have failures. We may be addicted to certain sins. We may not know how to probably to manage our anger. Lust may be a problem in the life of some of us. Or it may be wrong attitudes in relationship. The Lord said, these teachings of mine. So we know our weakness. We know where we need improvement. where we need more teaching and where we need more obedience. The Lord said, narrow is the gate, difficult is the way. But on the way, you are called to obey these teachings of mine, the inscripturated logos and the incarnate logos as the only authority of a Christian. You know, that is why many of our parents said goodbye to the denominational, traditional, ritualistic, cultural Christianity, because they have other authority. They have other authority other than the Word of God, inscripturated Word, and the incarnate Word. They have angels as their authority. They have saints as their authority. They have somebody there in Rome as their authority. They have a controlling bishop as their authority. No. There is only one authority, the incarnate Word, and He has given the inscripturated Word. It is a question of authority in our life. He who hears these words of mine. Many of us are getting old. Many of us are in the prime of youth. Many of us have a bright future before you. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is reminding us how to build your life upon my teaching. So take time to know it. Take time to enjoy it. Take time to learn it. Take time to obey it. That's something very, very important, because difficult is the way, and that foundation will help us to stand strong and to accomplish great things for the Lord in your generation. The Lord will equip you. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will give you victory. The Lord will fill you with abundant life so that you may be able to enjoy building your life upon the strong foundation. The Lord said, it's very familiar. You know, we have heard it from our childhood. I will liken him, verse 24, to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then what happened? And the rain descended. Rain here means the torrential rain. It should can be translated as the torrential rain in Palestine descended. The floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. In the parallel passage in Luke we read, but it was not shaken. It beat on that house and it did not fall. And the only reason was it was founded on the rock. And what is the rock? These sayings of mine. Don't miss that. You know, these sayings of mine, that is the rock. And a person who build his life upon my sayings, my teachings, and be obedient to that in the difficult way. I know many of us have gone through that difficult way already. And all of us will go through that difficult way. You know, the Lord did not say, if the rain comes. No, the Lord said, the rains came. You know, sometimes we calculate and make wrong forecast in our spiritual life. Will the rain come? May not come. No, there is no if. The rains came. Not that if the rains came. The rains came to your dad's life, to your mother's life, to your uncle's life, and to your life also. It is not an if. The floods came. It is a certainty. It will come.